to the Lord to go forward tonight, and can we just agree together? Father, without you we can do nothing, but with you all things are possible. So let your Holy Spirit bring forth what you need from these words tonight, as you anoint them to bring life into those that are having a hard time. In Jesus' name we pray.
You know, as I said to you earlier when we were about to take the elements, the thing that came in loud and clear was Pentecost is soon to be arriving. And on that first Pentecost, there was an expectation. There was also a lot of difficulty. And I'd like to kind of take you to John, Gospel of John, and take you to chapter 20. And we're going to start at verse 19 because, again, we're talking about Jesus has resurrected, Mary has seen him, Peter has seen him. And now, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear, that I think is very, very important, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Now, let's face it. They already were fully aware that they wanted to kill not only Jesus, but they wanted to get rid of Lazarus. I mean, Lazarus' hometown is just a couple miles, not even probably, from where our Lord was actually crucified. So, if you've got another family that has had a resurrection in the same basic area, you know darn well that the news is going to be around. And it's going to be spreading. And the hierarchy, just like, and I don't want to use our political figures, but, you know, we have a lady right now from California who's had a few problems. And it's kind of hit the headlines. Well, anybody that's living in the United States knows that this lady has been in the forefront advertising one thing, and now she's in a very difficult space. Do I get any little tiny amen? So pray for her. But the bottom line is, see, the hierarchy of the Jewish nation was just a couple miles down the road. And they knew Lazarus was a problem. And Jesus, obviously, had been, you know, they had a story for him, and we could go there, but I don't know if we're going to go there or not. But there is a place where, you know, they paid off these guards and got the news that, you know, after all, somebody stole his body and blah, blah, blah. But the point that I'm trying to bring is the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, are you ready for him to manifest even when the doors are locked? Where is he going to manifest? Within us. Within us. As a corporate body, he's going to show up. Are you prepared for that? Are you expecting it? Yes. You know, when I called Ron this week, and I left him a message, and he called back this morning, and he was so excited because of the word of knowledge that came through one of the saints here on Sunday morning. And he was ecstatic. God was on my case, 300 miles away. That's pretty good news. And, of course, when I said to him what the Lord had to say through his instrument, it was extremely exciting for him. Why? because... Exactly. And even if he had to go with somebody 300 miles away, he could know that he could get that message to you and get it there so that he could then implement and go forward with what God has already spoken. And it was a witness to his heart. So, why? Because that's how God works. Plus, he had a nice dream, and he was happy to share that with me. And he was a little bit stunned about what I got for an interpretation, but that's beside the point. What's important is, what God is saying is, even if the doors are locked, for fear of whoever, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands, his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now, don't you believe for one moment that when he shows up and he releases information and it changes your life dramatically, you're going to be just as excited. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't manifest in his flesh. He can, but he wants to manifest in your flesh. And I'm trying to press those buttons in so that when he does, you're not going to look at everybody and say, "Oh." You're going to be ready for him. Okay? Verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now, recognize again, the Father sent him. He was the first fruit. And he's going to be sending whom? Us. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven them. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So who's left in charge? Us. Is it important that you forgive? What if you don't? What if you don't? It's not going to happen. Why did he leave you and I this kind of authority? Come again? He was going to respect you with the gift of his Spirit, number one, and then allow your own heart to be in charge of those around you. Now, how many have a few enemies? Thank you. Forgive them. You're in charge. If you don't forgive them, what happens? You bind them to the wrong spirit. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? You know, a lot of people think that this is just for the apostles. It says disciples. Who are disciples? People that follow him. Men and women. I thought I'd put that in there just for good looks. Now, Thomas, verse 24. One of the 12 was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." I mean, let's face it. Excitement is kind of contagious. But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." I will not believe it. So what is he doing? He's binding himself to unbelief. Amen? So, a week later, say a week later, his disciples were in the house again. And Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked. Notice again, the doors were... Why is it important that we recognize that those doors are locked? Because the fear has not lifted. The fear is still operating. Okay? Do they have a right to be afraid? Yes! Absolutely. They've got emotions. They've still got Lazarus out there. They'd love to... definitely get rid of this guy because he's evidence against resurrection. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, I wonder what happened to Thomas's mouth. Did you ever imagine yourself when you were in unbelief? How many have ever visited with unbelief? Thank you. I visited with unbelief. I've asked God to forgive me of my unbelief. I've asked Him to help me with my unbelief. Why? Because it loves to hang around Christians. Okay, non-Christians too, but anyway. Then He said to Thomas, I'm sure Thomas probably went into the rug, or if they didn't have a rug, stone, whatever. Then He said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side and stop." Stop what? Doubting, right? And believe. Stop doubting and... Well, I wonder if He could use me. I wonder if I could really forgive somebody and it would have an impact. I wonder if they deserve to be forgiven. I wonder. After all, I'm just a nobody born in the other side of you know where, and after all, I'm not somebody special. Well, guess what? Yeah, you are. But do you always believe it? Do you doubt it? And what are the words from the Lord tonight? Don't doubt who I am in you. And start to believe. Start believing. And when you start believing, who are you going to impact first? Yes, the first person you're going to be dealing with is you. And you know what? It's going to be strange because you're going to start getting bombarded with what? Who can tell me what you're going to get bombarded with? Negative thoughts. Well, if you wouldn't have done this, you wouldn't be special. You would be if you had done all these other things. If you were like so-and-so, then you'd be special. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Why do you think Thomas had a problem with unbelief? Because he was related to Peter? He was. He was related to Peter. Peter had a problem because Jesus let himself get caught and get tied down and get crucified. He ruined the whole plan. Yeah. I mean, how many of you have ever had an expectation that Jesus was going to come and bring salvation to this one first, and then that one, and then by the byproduct of these two, this entire family and that entire corner is going to be set free, and they're going to be all delivered and healed, and it's going to be awesome because then you're off the hook. Thank you. Thank you. Do you understand? He wants to use you. Isn't that great? He wants to use you. And you know, when He does use you, what happens? Again, you get a visitor. Amen? What's his name? Doubt. Unbelief. They come over and they say, that person, that healing's not going to last. That salvation's not going to be working for sure. Because after all, I'm the one that prayed. And I'm nobody special. You must have missed God that day. Been there, received all those thoughts, had to put them beneath my feet, and keep on walking. Okay? Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that he probably bawled his eyes out and fell on the floor and asked for forgiveness. How many of you have ever had a Thomas attack? How many have ever repented like Thomas? If you need to do it more than once, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. Do it as often as needed. You know why? Because 70 times 7 is what you have to do to forgive yourself for the unbelief. You have to forgive yourself. Because if you don't, you stay bound. And I've been there. I know what it does. I've tasted of it. And I can recall, oh, this is quite a few years back, but my niece had just been born again several years, actually. And the Lord had commissioned a group of us to go from Massachusetts up into a large city in Canada for the conference, the Full Gospel Convention. And my niece was pressed of God to bring in a banner for that night. Now, there was going to be a couple thousand people there. And her girlfriend were part of a small church. And she was pressed of God to do this banner, and it had messages on it. And she brought it to me before the thing, and I went to the leaders of the convention, and I said, would you give her the moments that she needs, probably about maybe 6 or 7 minutes on the time clock, so that she can share what God has showed her and, you know, release it to the body. So they kind of interviewed her and checked out what, you know, they had gotten from God, and obviously it was on target. So just before, after the dinner, there was a beautiful banquet. Everybody ate, and the main speaker spoke, and then, of course, they called my niece forth with her banner and the identification of what she had done. But these are the words that came out of her mouth. I'm just a nobody. From this little tiny town in the southeastern part of Quebec, and God chose to release information to me. And she wept. Her girlfriend picked up on it and said, she's not a nobody from a small town in Quebec. She's a mighty woman of God under construction, and she is going to share with you what Jesus has showed her to share with this convention tonight. And my niece picked up all her blubber that she had slobbered everywhere because she was still crying because the emotions were so intense. And she began to give out what God had given her. Not realizing that her uncle was shaking in his boots, thinking the exact same thoughts. Namely me. Why? Because God chooses the simple to baffle the wise. She was just being herself, and she was shaken to the core because of this opportunity and this revelation that God had given her. Thomas was shaken to the core because he cried out, my Lord and my God. Now, is this an advertisement for what God did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years? No! This is an advertisement for tonight. To let you see that your Lord and your God is on the same job that He is with every single individual in the body of Christ. And there is no respecter of persons with God. He is ready to use everybody that says, yes, I'm here. Excuse me. Verse 29 is very important. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So are you blessed? Doubly blessed when you get more. But the most important part, don't look for signs and wonders. Look for who He is inside of you. Look at His gentle heart as He ministers to those that are wounded. Look at His gentle love that flows out of your heart when someone's hurt and you just are there to release grace and to release a lifting of their burden. Verse 30 says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. By believing you will have life in His name. You know, salvation is such a marvelous gift, and it is so, so simple. It's not complicated. Just to believe that He came, believe that He resurrected, believe that He's alive inside your heart. Believe that He's able to operate through your hands. Mark 16, you can check it out. Believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will speak in new tongues. That's the wonderful gift that's about to be celebrated when we take time out for Pentecost. But be aware. Be aware that unbelief and doubts are your enemies. They're not your friends. Unbelief and doubts will cramp your style, stop you from going forward, and keep you tied in a corner. And you know what? It's not good. And there's nothing wrong when you confess, Lord, I'm sorry, I chose to go forward and now I'm falling backwards. Please forgive me. 1 John 1:9 says, instantly Father forgives. And you know, there were seasons in my life when I would even repent of not believing that prayer. Because the attack would come. The thought patterns would enter in. Oh, well, you really didn't mean it. You didn't say it like you should. And I would quote it out loud, but my Father is faithful to forgive me because I've asked. I am forgiven. I am believing. And I am not doubting. I'm not doubting anymore. And as you declare with your mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, what happens? Believing with your heart, so shall it be. Close your Bibles. Put it on your chair and stand up. Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, tonight, Lord Jesus, I've already confessed the unbelief. But I'm saying again, I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is fully alive in me. And by His Spirit, He can function through me. And as He presses me to go forward, I will lay hands on the sick. They will recover. I will speak in new tongues. And God's Holy Spirit will flow through me. And the doubts will fade away as I watch the miracles happen. In me. They start with me. And the healing and the deliverance that will happen will be for God's glory. Morning, noon, and night. I'm willing. Send me, Lord. Send me forth. I'm ready. The Holy Ghost has prepared it. And God the Father will anoint me with new strength in Jesus' name. Because I'm a believer. Neighbor, get a clue. I'm just like you. I'm a believer. I'm believing for signs and wonders in Jesus' name. That's it.